couldn't be sure.
One thing I could be sure of, though, was that there was no particular reason for Kumiko to be receiving presents from other people at this time of year. Her birthday was in May, so was our anniversary. She might conceivably have bought herself a bottle of cologne and had it wrapped with a pretty ribbon. But why? I sighed and looked at the ceiling. Should I ask her about it directly? Did somebody give you that cologne? She might answer. Oh, that. One of the girls at work had a personal problem I helped her out with. It's too long a story to go into, but she was in a jam. This was a thank you gift. Wonderful fragrance, don't you think? It's expensive stuff. Okay, that makes sense. That does it. No need to ask. No need to be concerned. Except, I was concerned. She should have said something to me about it. If she had time to go to her room, untie the ribbon, tear off the wrapping paper, open the box, throw all three in the wastebasket, and put the bottle in her cosmetics cabinet, she should have been able to come to me and say, "Look at this present I got from one of the girls at work." Instead, she had said nothing. Maybe she had thought it wasn't worth mentioning. Now, however, it had taken on the thin veil of secrecy. That was what was bothering me. I looked at the ceiling for a long time. I tried to think about something else, but my mind wouldn't cooperate. I kept thinking about Kumiko at the moment I zipped up her dress, her smooth white back, the fragrance behind her ears. For the first time in months, I wanted a smoke. I wanted to put a cigarette in my mouth, light up, and suck the smoke into my lungs. That would have calmed me down. But I didn't have any cigarettes. I found a lemon drop and sucked on that. At 9:50, the phone rang. I assumed it was Lieutenant Mamiya. This house was not easy to find. Even people who had been here more than once sometimes got lost. But the call was not from Lieutenant Mamiya. What I heard coming from the receiver was the voice of the enigmatic woman who had phoned me the other day.
"Hi, honey. It's been a while," she said. "How did you like it last time? Did I get you going a little bit? Why did you hang up on me? And just when things were getting interesting?"
For a split second, I thought she was talking about my recent wet dream about Greta Kano. But that had been a different story. She was talking about the day she called me when I was cooking spaghetti. "Sorry," I said, "but I'm pretty busy right now. I'm expecting a visitor in 10 minutes, and I've got to get the place ready."
"You're awfully busy for somebody who's supposed to be out of work," she said,
with a sarcastic edge. The same thing had happened last time. Her tone of voice changed from one second to the next.
"You're cooking spaghetti? You're expecting a visitor? But that's all right. All we need is 10 minutes. Let's talk for 10 minutes. Just you and me. You can hang up when your guest arrives."
I wanted to hang up without saying a word, but I couldn't do it. I was probably still upset about Kumiko's cologne. Perhaps I felt like talking to someone, and it didn't much matter who. "Look," I said, "I don't have any idea who you are." I picked up the pencil lying beside the phone and twirled it in my fingers as I spoke. "Are you sure I know you?"
"Of course you do. I told you last time. I know you, and you know me. I wouldn't lie about a thing like that. I don't have time to waste calling complete strangers. You must have some kind of blind spot in your memory."
"I don't know about that, really, though..."
"Enough," she said, cutting me off. "Stop thinking so much. You know me, and I know you. The important thing is, well, look at it this way. I'm going to be very nice to you. But you don't have to do a thing. Isn't that marvelous? You don't have to do a thing. You have no responsibilities, and I do everything. Everything. Don't you think that's great? So stop thinking so much. Stop making everything so complicated. Empty yourself out. Pretend you're lying in some nice, soft mud on a warm spring afternoon."
I kept silent.
"You're asleep. You're dreaming. You're lying in nice, warm mud. Forget about your wife. Forget you're out of work. Forget about the future. Forget about everything. We all emerge from the warm mud, and we all go back to it. Finally. Oh, by the way, Mr. Okada, when was the last time you had sex with your wife? Do you remember? Quite some time ago, wasn't it? Yes, indeed. Maybe 2 weeks now?
Sorry, my visitor is here, I said.
More than 2 weeks, wasn't it? I can tell from your voice. 3 weeks, maybe?
I said nothing.
Oh, well, never mind,
she said, her voice like a little broom sweeping off the dust that had piled up on the slats of the Venetian blind.
That's between you and your wife. But I will give you everything you want. And you, Mr. Okada, need have no responsibilities in return. Just go round the corner, and there it is, a world you've never seen. I told you you have a blind spot, didn't I? You still don't understand.
Gripping the receiver, I maintained my silence.
Look around, she said. Look all around you.